You are listening to Radio for Peace International and a speech given by Granny D. Granny D was 93 years old when she gave this speech. This speech was given in August of 2003 at the Soul Fest held in Hopland, California. The 2003 Soul Fest was a staging ground for the WTO actions in Cancun, and thus Granny D's speech concentrated on free trade versus fair trade. We will join Granny D 4 minutes into her speech.
Hi, this is Starhawk, and I'm hoping that you'll listen to this and really support Radio for Peace International. It's completely listener-supported, and it's our global community forum.
A young college student named Lauren spent the summer in Guatemala to help some communities prosper in ways that support their local environments. Those villages and United States government to push through damaging treaties such as the proposed free trade area of the Americas. The villages want global fair trade. The corporations and their captive governments want free trade. If free trade wins, a global middle class will rise. If fair trade wins, a global middle class will become once again our America, as farmers and craftsmen are paid fairly for their work, and as they gain a voice in their governance. If free trade wins, it is colonial exploitation, torture, and murder written in blood once again across the century. Or do you wonder if it is really an honest difference of opinion as to which policies are best for the people? On July 24, three armed gunmen broke into the home where my young friend was staying in Guatemala, dragging her and another girl to the ground floor, covering their heads with blankets, while for an hour they went through the files and photos of this good-hearted program, which was there to help real people. The government of Guatemala trying to repress dissent against these big business deals needs to be seen as the corrupt villain it is. But its partner and blood brother is the Bush administration. The two girls survived, but tens of thousands have not, because they are in the way of big business. It is not an honest difference of opinion. It is a noble struggle, a global struggle of people versus a global crime syndicate that counts takeover governments and multinational corporations among its members. There is a term now in common use in Latin America that is confusing to us Americans. It is called neoliberalism, and it is a very dirty word indeed among pro-democracy and fair trade groups down there. Neoliberal sounds like the happy return of the Kennedys, but it is not. It is not about some resurgence of the liberal values of the Square Deal and the New Deal and the War on Poverty or any of those things that called upon us to cooperatively address our largest needs as a free and self-governing people. The liberation that we have meant when we used the word liberal was the liberation from poverty, despair, and ignorance, the liberation of the mind through public education, the liberation of a citizen through universal voting, equal rights, equal opportunity, and the freedom to prosper from the fruit of our labor. But that is not the liberal that is meant by neoliberal. It means newly free to rampage. It means free of government restraints. It means free trade over fair trade. Neo-liberation means to the liberation of a giant beast that we, the ordinary people of America, the farmers, the townsmen, the townswomen, the trade unionists, tied down to the earth in the early 20th century. And it is that beast that has now gotten himself loose again to do great damage to us all. The deadly meanderings of this beast are most apparent in the most labor-intensive regions of the world. But the beast is here too, and he has brought misery and suffering into your life and into mine. Neoliberalism is colonialism on crack. And sometimes quite liberally. How did we handle this giant, this evil giant before? The Teddy Roosevelt progressives and the William Jennings Bryan populists before him were part of a successful effort to tie down that giant. After the Civil War, at the high point of the Industrial Age and the age of railroads, oil and steel, great corporations and trusts were created that towered high over the human-scaled business of America's Main Street. Great corporations and trusts were created, and they cast dark shadows on human liberty and happiness. These monstrosities treated humans as slaves. They robbed the public wealth and were properly called the robber barons of that gilded age. These giants freely stalked, destroying the economics of family farms and family businesses, corrupting our governments and with great bribes and other deals, and polluting our food, our land, our water, and our air. They tore our families apart and dragged us into the hardest of hard times. I am not talking about all corporations or all big business corporations. Corporations of reasonable size are but groups of people. Beyond some point, however, the humanity falls away from an organization, and all that is left is will to power and profit. These are potable fascist regimes, and they are a cancer on our blue-green Eden. They care not that our seas and atmosphere are rapidly changing in ways that they may lead to disaster and famine of unimaginable scale. They crush us under their boots, and they pay off our political leaders with campaign contributions and other bribes. They trample on diversity of all kinds, including human personality, as fewer and fewer kinds of people can prosper in the world. They are casting, and more are marginalized. They would be powerless if they were not in league with crooked politicians. I do not mean that the politicians necessarily know what they are doing. The corruption is so immense that they cannot even see it. Even when it pays the finances for their re-election. These, the happily blind, populate Capitol Hill and our state capitals, like vermin who have been for generations in deep caves where they lost their vision and their other senses. Thank you. Well, 2¼ centuries was a good run for the democracy, but a rebirth is long overdue. And it is indeed necessary if we are to save our freedoms and our human values here and abroad, and if we are to protect the beauty and sustaining graces of our nature. We must have that rebirth. What that Republican Teddy Roosevelt understood at the beginning of the 20th century was that the rights and fortunes of the human scale are to be protected if the rights and fortunes of average Americans, small businesses, family farms, and main streets are to be protected from the ravages of overscaled business giants, then government must grow in size to protect us all. That has not been a happy strategy, as large government has its own costs to us and its own abuses. The libertarians and, of course, the neoliberals, to use the word as it has lately become to be used, would have us do away with most all of our government. Anyone who has paid too many taxes or dealt with a rude bureaucrat understands the libertarians' feelings. But I ask at least the intellectually honest libertarians to wisely see that government, which is indeed a system of restraint, must be matched in strength and in scale to the corporate monstrosities that have the ability and the willingness to destroy us.
You are listening to Radio for Peace International, and this is a speech given by Granny D at the 2003 Soul Fest. Stand by for more Granny D and Radio for Peace International.
Hi, this is Ed Holmes of the San Francisco Mime Troupe, and we support Radio for Peace International.
To blow up the entire Appalachian range for the profits of coal, for example, as is now happening, or to steal for profit the water supply of whole regions, or to enslave whole regions at low wages rather than allow fair trade. They are stealing our lives and all nature around us. Only government is large enough and powerful enough to rein in those corporations with the cold-heartedness to trade lies for profits all over the world. Republican Teddy Roosevelt began the build-up of big business and began the government against the big business by big government solely to protect us from those over-large corporations so that they might not overwhelm us from over-large corporations, so that they might not overwhelm we human beings. In doing so, he created a split in the Republican Party, and big business interests won. Perhaps the rational solution is to scale them both back, corporations and government, and let individual enterprise and individual freedom and its many middle-class treasures and blessings blossom in the old battlefield as before. But there is no leadership, that only the battle is before us. What is happening now, of course, is that the neos in the Bush administration, you can call them neos or neoliberals or neoconservatives, though they're neo-nothing except perhaps neo-colonial and neolithic. What is happening now is that the neos in this administration are starving government very much on purpose. Huge military commitments, huge tax cuts to the wealthy individuals and corporations, and huge budget deficits leave no money leave no money for the old New Deal programs, like Social Security, or newer programs such as Medicare. No money for schools, no money for hospitals, for police, for fire, for veterans. No money for anything but the front lines of a corporatized military and a militarized corporatocracy. A starved government, once our government, has no ability to restrain the liberated giant or to investigate his abuses or prosecute his crimes. And so 2 years after Enron, only one person is behind bars. It is not for lack of villains. And as all California cries, it is not for lack of victims. When did the monster get untied? He did so in the era of corporate permitted and smiled upon by the Reagan administration. Reagan admired those cowboy businessmen of the 1980s, the corporate raiders who engineered hostile corporate takeovers. But those takeovers, allowed by hamstrung regulators, caused all large and middle-sized American corporations to go on a rampage of streamlining, outsourcing, wage cutting, plant closings, and job exporting to other countries. They did so to make themselves proof of any takeover proof. It was no longer respectable to make a respectable profit and to serve your community with good jobs and a good product, with good jobs and fairly priced goods and services. The new mentality of profit maximization and unlimited mergers and no government control was the untying of the monster, and it was no accident. The ropes were further loosened in the greedy and morally corrupt Clinton and Bush administrations until we find ourselves now with a government of and by and for the corporations. A century ago, the ordinary people of America joined together to tie down the giant. The antitrust laws and environmental laws and the rights of workers to organize and collectively bargain for wages and benefits all joined together to nurture the restoration of a great middle class, always the bedrock of democracy. The robber barons, the great giants, remained tied down, no longer free, no longer liberated, to do as they pleased in crushing us with that great wealth and political power. So it was for a time. And now, loosed again, these giants have taken over our television networks and most of our newspapers, turning them against our interests, against the truth itself. These giants send our young people off to fight their commercial wars. Great profitable ventures. witness the hostile takeover of Iraq by Halliburton and friends, having body snatched the agencies of our government to do so. How free are you now, my friends? Check your bills and your bank account. How much time and leisure do you have to enjoy your life and your friends? How is the place in your community as a free and equal citizen? Or are we drones that go to work, go to bed to rest for more work, go to the stores to spend all that we earn and more, and watch television to receive our instructions what to buy the next day? if we have jobs at all. Is that freedom by some other name? It is not freedom by any name, and it is nothing to push on the rest of the world. What shall we do, my fellows, about these giants stalking our earth freely? How shall we get our children home from their wars and ourselves free from their captivities? We must become the large counterbalance to these powers that our government no longer is. By communicating and acting in concert, we can reward the good companies and keep our money clear of the worst. We can make our demand for fair trade products and put out of business in a month those businesses who exploit our brothers and our sisters here and around the world. We have the tools. We have the tools now to do this. We have the tools to do this both electronic and democratic. It will not be an easy task, but we have no real alternative if we are to save the world, and that is what we are doing. Thank you. Tell your favorite coffee shop that as of Earth Day 2004, you will only buy fair trade coffee. Let us give a fair warning for fair trade in this and other areas of products and services. Let us develop the best information about who is doing what, and let us use our new tools to come to consensus regarding which companies deserve our support, a reverse boycott on a global scale. I will put information on my website, grannyd.com, about who is helping in this new effort, and I will put some stickers there you can print to give a fair warning for fair trade to your favorite shops. Yes, let's continue our efforts to reform our government, both state and federal, to put public funding, clean elections in our government in place of the terrible administration we have today. But with these revolutionary new tools, we are redefining democracy at a critical moment, and let us not be shy about it, for time is short. We stand for love, we stand for fairness in the world. That is not gentle work, nor is it painless or bloodless. This is, after all, our world and our lives. Do you remember those few weeks after 9/11 attacks, when we, as an automatic antidote to the inhumanity of those attacks, sought our humanity again in a million little ways? For that moment, we came out of the hypnosis we have come to live under, and we saw the Eden of human love and cooperation. We must not fall back under that hypnosis again, as it is fatal and a waste of life. The forces of life and death are in struggle, for those are the other names for love and fear, and happily use ourselves up in this service. Thank you.
This is Michael Sullivan, director of the San Francisco Mime Troupe, and we support Radio for Peace International.
You have been listening to a speech by Granny D at the 2003 Soul Fest. Radio for Peace International would like to thank the 2003 Soul Fest for their help in arranging these interviews and all these speeches for Radio for Peace International. You can find out more about Radio for Peace International or the Institute for Progressive Communications taught on the grounds of Radio for Peace by logging on to our website at www.rfpi.org. www.rfpi.org.